6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. Now's the time where we take a look at our top stories trending nationally in the sports world. And how about this one first? Donovan Mitchell. Donovan freaking Mitchell went off. He set a Cleveland record last night. 71 points. That's the most by an NBA player in 17 years. And the Cavs used that to rally from down 21 to beat the Bulls 145 to 134. It was the most points in a game by any player since Kobe Bryant had the 81. I mean, just absolutely nuts what he was able to do. Just phenomenal. Donovan Mitchell, dude.
Good thing he's in Cleveland.
Yeah, good thing. Good thing. Not with Utah anymore.
Best thing for you.
Yeah, stay there. We won't have to worry about you unless the Cavs pull off a miraculous run in the playoffs.
Unless you want to see Jamal and him drop 50 again.
Can Jamal drop 50 anymore? Can you do that?
Maybe once.
Yeah, maybe he's good for one. Let's save that for like a game seven or something in the NBA. But how long was... Has it been that long since Kobe had 81 against Toronto? Because I'm reading most by an NBA player in 17 years. I'm thinking, no, Kobe did it not that long ago. But Kobe did it in 2006. I mean, just it's that long ago that he put up 81. And then Will Chamberlain, of course, owns the record. He did 100. Can you imagine watching that 100 game for Will? I mean, watching 71 would be amazing. Watching 81 would be amazing. But Chamberlain just scored 100 points? Most teams don't even get 100 points in a game.
I've seen conspiracies about that.
That,
you know, there's no cameras. There wasn't a lot of press at that game. Did this actually happen?
Did it actually?
Is that picture just a Photoshop that's just made its life through the internet? Just, oh, they just put 100 on a blank piece of paper.
Yeah.
It was actually just a blank piece of paper he was holding up for a picture.
Hey, guys, I had 100. It's like that guy that faked his own triple jump thing or whatever, you know, the record. Here's my record. Coming up. Yeah, maybe so. That's just phenomenal, dude. It's just absolutely crazy. And Donovan Mitchell, 71 points for him. Wow. All right, the stage is set. Is this the matchup that you were wanting? TCU taking on Georgia. Interesting games that led to this point, of course. But Georgia finding a way to get it done. A bad... Oh, that missed field goal by Ohio State. Yikes.
That was bad. I really thought they had it there for a second. I thought, okay, this is Ohio State's drive. Stroud's going to lead him down the field. Line it up for a field goal, and it's way left. Like, yeah. I remember watching, I was like, oh, God, that's awful.
That's like me kicking field goals in Madden.
That's like if it's I tried
so
to kick a field goal
Madden.
In real life.
Yeah. It was bad,
except
dude.
Except it's 5 yards shorter.
So are we excited about this matchup then? I mean, TCU... That's a good football team. And don't forget, CU was down by, what, 3 to TCU at the half to start the season this year. Don't forget about that. And then Carl Durrell just forgot how to coach football, and then they lost, and from that point on, they were bad. But that's why I didn't really believe in TCU. I'm like, dude, everybody else smokes CU by the time you get to halftime. TCU was the one team, I mean, one of the only teams that CU actually had it being a game going into the second half. So I didn't really believe in TCU, and then every week they just kept proving me wrong, and now here they sit. They have a chance to do this thing. Is Georgia going back-to-back?
I hope not. For all that is good and crimson, just don't do it.
What do you make of Mr. Bennett? Is Stetson Bennett, he's not a next.
He's getting on my nerves.
Is he a next-level guy?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but here he is again.
He gets on my nerves a little bit.
Why does he get on your nerves?
Because of the whole, oh, I was a walk-on, nobody gave me a shot.
He just keeps
overplaying it. He just keeps... And I'm not discrediting his talent. I just, enough with the sob story, dude. You've won a national championship. Like, once you've done that, like, what else do you need to say about your journey? We all know your story up to this point.
Did you ever see the movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg?
No.
His story is like he's just a young punk kid, and he was at a concert, and then he was they I don't know what was his story. Anyway, he comes into audition for this great amazing rock band, and he gets it. And so every night he'd go out onto the set, onto the stage, and the final song they would do, he would always do his little spiel. I'm just a young punk kid who had nothing going for me with pictures of these guys on their walls, and now I'm living proof that you can live out your dreams. So is that Stetson Bennett? That's got to be him.
It feels like that. I mean, I don't watch a lot of Georgia, but every time they're on TV, it's, oh my gosh, Stetson Bennett, look at his five-year story of his life. Like, it's
we eat it up. We either want ultimate
greatness
or the ultimate underdog.
When they go get a five-star quarterback next year, Stetson will be old news.
I wonder if Stetson, like, I didn't think he was going to be a next-level guy.
I don't think he is.
I just never know. I honestly just never know.
I think he's more next-level than Caleb Williams is right now.
Really?
Yes. Well, I can't stand the way Caleb Williams plays.
Interesting.
I don't
Why?
Like it. Because he gets, it's this thing, it's probably because of social media, but he makes like one or two throws where he runs around the backfield for 30 yards, and then he makes a big play, and his receiver does all the work for it. It's like, oh my gosh.
He's keeping it alive.
Can you see this kid? He's doing stuff like Zach Wilson did at Pro Day last year. Look how that turned out.
He's keeping it alive.
That style of play doesn't work in the NFL.
I mean, it worked for us in Seattle for a little bit. Just run around and make something happen.
Out of 500 quarterbacks that could do it.
Yeah.
You saw what Zach Wilson, he tried to do it. It doesn't work.
I just don't know. I honestly don't know who.
I don't think he has the attitude.
Who translates to the next level? I have no freaking idea.
Well, it's Will Levis right now.
Yeah.
Because he's 6'3", huge arm. He's basically Josh Allen 2.0.
Well,
without any of the actual.
See, I wouldn't have been able to tell you Josh Allen translated. And then just more and more noise came out his senior year, his last year. And at the Senior Bowl, he was really good. No, he was really bad at the Senior Bowl, right? He was really bad. But I wouldn't have been able to say, yeah, that's a top seven, should be a top five pick when it's all said and done. I didn't even think he was going to be a top 10. I didn't even at one point think Josh Allen was a first rounder. I mean, I watched him play in the Mount West, and I thought, that's a guy that's pretty good. But I would have told you that Brett Rypien is going to have the better career. I would have, if we could go back in time, I'll bet you on this show, I said, of the Mountain West quarterbacks that I was following closely, and Brett Rypien was one of them, I would have told you right there, Brett Rippin's going to be a top pick, first rounder, second rounder guy, and would translate well into the NFL. Josh Allen will be fine, but I don't know. We'll see. He might be a project. But here we sit. Brett Rypien's the backup to Russell Wilson, and Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Now, I'm not going to be a guy that comes on here and pretends to know who's going to translate and transition into the next level. You just don't know, guy. Tom Brady was fine when he was in Michigan. He was just fine. And then he becomes the greatest quarterback of all time. Brian Griese was actually really good in Michigan. And what happened to him? I mean, you just don't know. All right, final story. The Packers and the Lions were flexing that bad boy to Sunday Night Football. This is going to be awesome. Can I just say this? I'm like, Aaron Rodgers, I've been up and down about this guy over the years. He is entertaining to me. Everything he says, I watched him on, he was on Bill Maher's little, have you seen those little videos Bill Maher does now? Sits people in his little weird dungeon of an office. And they're smoking weed or whatever they're doing. You're poison, whatever your poison is. And he brought Rodgers in. I don't know if it was obviously taped before the season, but I'm just sitting there like hanging on every word that Aaron Rodgers is saying. Just whether I agree or disagree with him, he's entertaining to me. And when I watch him play football, he's really entertaining.
He is certainly an out of the box thinker.
Yeah. Now do I kind of wish going back that it would have worked out to have him here? I still stand by it. You would have only had a year or two with him. I mean, this has got to be it for him, right?
Could you imagine how great those 2 years would have been? Two great years.
Maybe better
with
than
Rodgers
what we're dealing with right now.
Plus, with a middling Russell Wilson.
All the Packers got to do is beat the Lions now, right?
Yep.
That's it.
I think so.
Yeah, that's
they
it.
They may need some help, but not a ton.
They got all the help they needed, according to ESPN Sunday. So all they have to do is beat Detroit. That's it.
Can Detroit still get in if they win? Or do they need help?
I think they can get in still. They just need help. There's a lot to it, but they need help. Let's dissect it here. Yeah, Detroit's still open. They win the tiebreaker over Green Bay based on head-to-head win percentage. So beat them, and then you'd have. So if they tie, I guess Detroit would get in over Green Bay. Seattle wins the tiebreaker over Detroit based on head-to-head win percentage. They're all 3-8-8. Division tiebreak was initially used to eliminate the Packers. Detroit wins tiebreaker over Green Bay based on head-to-head. But the way it works out, Seattle's in seventh right now, but if Green Bay wins, they leapfrog both of those teams. Because it's set. You're just looking for that seventh spot. And for many reasons, I'm rooting for Green Bay. I think the playoffs are better when Aaron Rodgers is in them. And I don't want Seattle to get, I don't want Seattle to get everything from this trade. Not only did they get all the picks, not only did they see their quarterback that they risked getting rid of suck this year, but they're going to get in the playoffs too. And Geno Smith's a Pro Bowler.
And the team you traded him to fired their coach.
Yeah, we can't.
You're winning.
You can't get everything. Yeah, they've already won this thing so far. Year one, they won, whether they go to the playoffs or not. But I'm good if they don't get everything. So there's still something to determine there. The AFC is almost set, too. Your Dolphins are still in there, Angel, but I don't know. Who's the third? What's the third string guy's name?
Skylar Thompson. Seventh round out of Kansas State.
How's your confidence level right now for the Dolphins getting
I have no idea. I cannot fathom how this team went from 8-8 or went from 8-3 to 8-8. I don't understand it.
I think since that injury, everything just went weird.
Which injury?
The first one.
Like 50,000.
The first one. The first to Tua. The first one.
The Bills one or the Bengals one?
Was it the Bengals game? They were moving down the field really well.
Yes.
So that was the second injury, wasn't it?
Yes.
So that, to me, that was when...
And then after that, he was out for two games, and they came back and won five straight.
Yeah.
And then they went to San Francisco, and they've lost every game since.
Well, I just know that when I watched him in the Bengals game, I thought, man, Miami looks unstoppable. And that was early in the season. Then he gets hurt. And then they lost to the Jets, they lost to the Vikings, and you, like you said, they went on, they rattled off a few dubs in a row. But I did... At that point, I thought, man, this team can't be stopped against the Bengals. They were doing everything right. Tua looked really good. And then he gets hurt again, and you have a weird little lull there. You come back and you make it interesting, but then you have some tough opponents. You know, San Francisco might be a team that can win this thing. Chargers might be maybe a dark horse to make some noise in the playoffs.
Why does everyone have their turnaround game against us?
I don't know, man.
49ers got Purdy in that
game.
Why
could we have played the Dolphins?
They figured it out. Chargers have figured it out since then. The Bills are going to bill. The Patriots are still in the playoffs.
Mm.
Stupid.
That's, well, you know what? At least it's exciting here.
This is why I got mad a couple weeks ago with Uncle.
And that's who we're calling. That's what we're calling.
After all the stuff my team has gone through, you're still going to crap on us. After all of this, we've had enough. I've had enough personally. Like, I'm ready for football season to be over.
Well, welcome to
my club.
Even
if they go to the playoffs, I will be rooting my tail off, but I'm like, I'd be fine if they could just stop right now.
I was ready for football to be over like months ago, man.
Back in like September.
Yeah, it's been bad. Mike Brohard's coming on to join us next. Let's talk about a superstar out of Colorado State, and it's not on the men's basketball team. It's not a proposed football player. Let's talk about this athlete coming up next. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
After the 12 o'clock hour. We're still efforting. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. A couple of CSU little nuggets for you. Ryan Stonehouse has had a phenomenal rookie season as a punter for the Titans. Trey McBride got his first touchdown over the weekend. That was a cool one. Kind of sliding into the end zone. Good for him. David Roddy's been doing great things for Memphis this year. Yeah. CSU, man. Good for them. I know right now with the men's team, they're kind of in a tough spot right now, but the women's team, they're sitting at 8-5, 1-1 in the Mountain West Conference. They battled it out against the top team in the conference at this stage, against UNLV. They lost in overtime, 91-88. Mike must be stuck in an interview or something. I don't know. Things happen, man. But we got to talk about this girl right here, man. McKenna Hofschild. I got a chance to see her play a little bit because they were playing right before the UNC-CSU game. How tall is she? She's like, I mean, she is typically the smallest one. She's 5'5", 5'5 senior, but plays like she's 6'5". She's averaging 21.6 points per game. 3.5 rebounds per game, about 8 assists per game. She's 36th in the country in field goal percentage. 56. Dude, she is really freaking good. This is an All-American in the making right here. And she had a monster game against UNLV. 37 points, dude. She had 37 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. I mean, it's her and everybody else in this game. She got to the free throw line 21 times against UNLV. She was 16 of 21. So what you got to do when you get there, you got to knock them down. 10 of 15. 37. It's phenomenal. She's a player we need to be talking about more. I had a bunch of people tweeting at me saying, Brady, you need to be building this girl up. She doesn't need any building up from me. She's ridiculous. What a great player. Good for her. And so this Rams team is sitting at 8-5 in the conference. And UNLV, that's a top team. So even though it's like scary time for Nico Medved's Rams, we should be looking at this team. We should be looking at the Colorado State women's basketball team, too. And those are phenomenal numbers, man. She's worth getting out there and checking out a CSU women's basketball game. And that's what I'm telling you, man. There's a lot of great local sports going on in the area, and that's one of them. CSU might be doing some dangerous things coming up this year. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And Colorado State, meanwhile, the men's side of things, yeah, it's been a little bit of a struggle. Really, it's been a struggle for a lot of the teams that we've been talking about. But for the Rams, you know, they lost to San Jose State 78-70. They lost to New Mexico 88-69. That was on national television. They're 0-2 in the conference. So is Wyoming, though. I mean, again, but Wyoming, they went toe-to-toe with New Mexico. How worried should we be about Colorado State? They've dropped 3 in a row. They have Nevada coming up tomorrow night. That will be on FS1. And hey, you want a guy to be a player of the week that's not named Nikola Jokic? Well, there's a pretty good chance that guy could be Isaiah Stevens. Go grab one. Go get one tomorrow against Nevada. Put yourself in the running for that. And then they have Fresno State on Saturday afternoon. That's an afternoon game. That's a home game. So a chance to kind of try to get right here. However, Nevada, that's a 12-3 basketball team. Fresno State's kind of a middle-of-the-road team, but Nevada, that's going to be a tough, tough game. But what better way to kind of turn your season around than to go pull off an upset against one of the top teams in the Mountain West Conference? So the state of basketball in the area, college-wise, has been a little rough. Still think that is Wyoming going to get Graham EK back? We'll see if we can get our guy Cody Tucker on the program from 7220sports.com at some point. Talk about Wyoming's loss in the bowl game too. But that's Cowboys team. You know, Jeff Linder was saying it. Hey, I know if New Mexico is number 22 in the state in the nation, then we're right there with them. And that's without Graham EK. So if you can get him back, Wyoming might make a little bit of a run here. Colorado State, like I said, we'll see. The Buffs, it's one day they're the best team in the country. The other day, the next day, it's like, oh, you lost to Cal. Cal's 2-13, Angel. And the Buffs lost to them on the road, 80-76. They've got Oregon coming up next. And Oregon's 8-6. They're 2-1 in the Pac-12. But again, this is the Buffs. So far this season, Colorado has been really, 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 really good. And then it's like, who is that team again? Who is this imposter? So I still think the Buffs will be dancing, though. I think they're going to do enough. As for the UNC Bears, they dropped their first two conference games. They lost to Weber State. Now, Weber State is at the top of the conference, so right behind Eastern Washington. And then they lost to Idaho State, who is also at the top of the conference as far as conference records, but they're a 5-10 team. Now, that doesn't – listen, the non-conference schedule means less to me in the Big Sky than any other type team. Like, when we're looking at CSU in the Mountain West, okay, yeah, non-conference. But you got to look at who these teams are playing against. I mean, UNC, they don't have a good non-conference record. They went 5-9, but Baylor and Houston were on that mix. And they had a lot of good teams. I mean, CU was in that mix. Idaho State, I mean, they had BYU, Utah. Denver was there. Those aren't like terrible losses for UNC is what I'm saying. Idaho State, I don't know how much, what they're going to be like throughout the course of this year, but I think that was one you wanted to win, certainly. But now you come home on Thursday against Montana State, and then on Saturday, Montana. Those are always good games to watch. Montana State was picked to finish first in the Big Sky Conference, so this would be a nice dub if you can get this one. But, yeah, the basketball scene in the last week and a half, it's been a little shaky. Dalton Connect had 29 against Idaho State. Dalen Kuntz, you know, he's going to drop 20 in his sleep now. He had 19. Matt Johnson with 5. He didn't get him to the free throw line. So, are we panicked? Who are we panicked about right now? Of those four teams that I just mentioned, who's getting most of the panic? Is it CSU?
I think it is CSU.
I think it's CSU.
I'm concerned about UNC, but it is so early in conference play, and these guys are just coming off of a winter break. It's hard to really get a feel for where, you know, how much practice they had over the break. We talk with Matt and Dalen on a weekly basis. Doesn't sound like they were getting too much gym time just because of access and stuff. So, yeah, I think CSU is more concerning.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it goes there. Wyoming is hard to get concerned about because you're still waiting on your stud to get back. Not that you can't be concerned about the Cowboys, but after that New Mexico game, they didn't win it, but they were right there. You got to think, okay, maybe better days are ahead for the Cowboys. For the Buffs, again, it's just going to be, is this how it's going to be all season? Just infuriating. Wow, we knock off a really good team, and then we lose to a really bad team. But it's not panic time because I think CU is a good team. And that will probably show as we get deeper into conference play. And you're right. With UNC, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried because so much depends on what Dalen Kuntz, Matt Johnson, Dalton Connect can do. And they do live by that three-point line. That's a dangerous way to live. And with three guys providing the bulk of your scoring, if it's not all three of them, it's at least two of them. And that's the case against Idaho State. It was Dalton Connect and Dalen Kuntz and then everybody else. I mean, Abercrombie had 10, but Connect had 29. Dalen had 20. So that, to me, is like I want to see another guy really contributing. And if he's not scoring a lot, he's getting boards. Theo Hughes has stepped up. I've liked that, but he gave up 90 points. To Idaho State. And so there we go. We're talking about this defense again for the University of Northern Colorado. But you're right. As far as expectations paired with what we're seeing right now, I'm definitely putting a little bit of that panic button on Colorado State. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to get involved in the conversation, do you want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies? They have a spine specialist, hip and knee specialist, foot and ankle specialist, hand and upper extremity specialist. They have you covered literally from head to toe. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check them out at orthohealth.com. 33 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here. Happy New Year, Hooligans 2023. It's going to be a fantastic year. Very excited about it. Got some new things in the works as far as in the show that we're working on. A couple of podcast ideas as well. So chances to take some deep dives into a couple of different teams and areas that you know, that I'm focusing on a daily basis. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. How are we feeling about this Nuggets team? They drop one to the Timberwolves, but that was on a back-to-back after beating the Boston Celtics 123-111. Another monster performance from the Joker. And that game took 30 extra minutes because They had to go level the rim, make sure the rim was level.
I thought it was funny, Coach Malone's little post-game video that they put out. He's like, he's going to talk to the team about the game, and he's like, well, we got to hurry up because we got to get to the airport like right now. So I'm just going to real quick, here's the player of the game chain and all that. But it feels like this team is starting to have fun. Like,
oh,
just
yeah.
The way the chemistry's starting to hit together. They're hitting that grind of the season part, like right before the All-Star break. You're a couple months in, you're starting to feel your rhythm and all of that. But the chemistry on this team is just getting better and better, it seems like.
Yeah, and again, I kind of want to throw the Timberwolves game out. Whatever, it's basketball, you can do that. Because it was a long game and an emotional game, and Aaron Gordon didn't look quite right, looked really exhausted last night.
He hurt his shoulder.
Yeah, and he was airballing free throws, and he just didn't, yeah. So, still had 18 points. Or no, what did he have, 14 points, something like that. It wasn't a great game for him, but against Boston, he had 18 and 7 assists and 6 boards. That's the game I want to look at. Now, no Jamal Murray in that game. But it was Bones Highland, who's, I've been saying it, man, he's got it. He has the ability to be a big-time player. He also has the ability to make you get really frustrated watching him. The last few nights have been fantastic for him. Against Boston, he had 17 off the bench. That's big. Those are nice numbers coming off the bench. Joker, of course, had 30, 12, and 12. He's starting to get those triple-doubles, starting to complete those triple-doubles. Well, because he's playing in full games, too. That's all. That also helps. Michael Porter Jr., 19 points for him against Boston, 3 of 7 from the three-point line. He's looking better and better to me. You know what I noticed? I talked about this last year. Oomph. Like when you go up for a rebound and you grab the ball and you grab that basketball hard. You see guys with a hard rebound. Mm-hmm. You know, Porter would just kind of go up last year or the year before that and just kind of go up and grab it. And then again, if somebody comes back behind him, boom, the scouting report's out on him. He's not going to come down hard with the ball. So it could pop up behind him and just pop the ball out of his hands. You're starting to see him. That's a little thing that I've noticed. Just oomph when he goes up and gets the rebound. Smack the basketball.
Yeah, I think his effort has definitely been showing up a lot more recently. If not on the scoring side, he's shown up a lot more on the defensive side.
Yes.
He's spacing the floor a lot better. He's not just standing in one spot and turning his head around. He's moving his body around, getting in the right positions. And that's good. That's really a good positive for him coming back off the heel injury.
What's the future look like for Jamal Murray? I mean, I know I gave Tanner crap about this 2 weeks ago. About the idea of trading him this year doesn't make sense to me because I don't want to mess with the bench. I don't want to mess with the chemistry of this team. But, dude, I could definitely paint you a scenario that has the Nuggets winning a title where Jamal Murray's just a guy, a part of that. Like, Joker's the MVP. Aaron Gordon is the Robin now to Nikola Jokic's Batman. Bruce Brown is your defensive specialist. Michael Porter Jr. is hitting his threes, playing a little better defense, but it's not like a strength. Bones Highland and Christian Brown are real core bench guys doing some big things for you. I could see Jamal Murray just kind of being a guy. You know, 14 points for him. He had 14 against the play with Timberwolves last night. And he didn't play against Boston. And yet Denver won 123 to 111. And Boston had their guys. So I just... When do you get to the point where you're tired of waiting for him to live up to that contract? You can't really trade him for anything that great, and it would be in the offseason. Like I said, I'm not advocating for any big moves now. Definitely don't want to hit that. But I think at some point, the conversation has to be had that, we got Mike on? Is that Mike? Okay, let's bring him on. We got Mike. Mike was busy, very, very busy, but he's a busy guy. That's what busy guys do. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, happy new year, my friend.
Happy new year to you, too. Hope it treated you very well.
It did, man. It did. I took last week off, so I feel regenerized, ready to go, ready to rock and roll here. But, dude, I've been talking about McKenna Hofschild. She's ridiculous, man. What a phenomenal basketball player.
McKenna is a phenomenal basketball player. Yeah, and she's on the chase in just 3 years on the career assist total. She's been on a great run lately. She's really been on a great run all year. The funny thing is you sit there and you kind of look at her games, and there's so many games where she's just missed a double-double from, like, one assist short. But she's, you know, when you looked at that home opener and what she was able to do in the Mountain West home opener, and then, you know, even though they lost to UNLV, what she was able to do in that game, she's just the engine that just drives that team. And their success is going to depend a lot on what she does. And it's not just what she's creating for herself, it's how she creates for her teammates. And the confidence that they give her because her ability to see the floor is so good and so pure.
Yeah, no question. I only had a chance to see her play a little bit. It was right at the end of their game before UNC played CSU a while back. But right then, man, I'm going, this girl is just so much fun to watch. And I know over the years she's been making a name for herself. But, dude, I mean, 20, what is she averaging, like 22 points per game? As you said, she's finding her teammates, 8 assists per game. And then she just goes crazy against UNLV, which was a crazy game, with 37. I mean, this is a household name in the area that, you know, everyone really needs to start paying attention to.
Yeah, but, you know, the funny thing is I think CSU fans have really appreciated everything she's done for the last 3 years. She's just gotten better and better each year, and now she's really throwing up some pretty magical games the last couple of times out, and people are starting to take note. But, you know, the CSU team's known about her and what she does and what she means to that program for the last couple of years.
So that's a team, obviously, with this women's basketball team. We expect them to do, I mean, after that game against UNLV, you know, again, they lose in overtime, but you're still thinking, man, this team is going to make some noise. Could be running the table in the conference. We shall see. Flipping over to the men's side of things, it's been a rough couple of games, at least a stretch there since that, going back to that USC game for Nico Medved's crew. But they have some even big tests coming up later this week with Nevada coming up. I mean, that's a good Mountain West basketball team.
Yeah, it's been a run of things for CSU. And, like, we talked to Isaiah Stevens and Isaiah Rivera after the game, and Stevens was one that said, you know, it's consistency in what they're doing. And it's just consistency in a lot of different areas is what Medved backed up on. You know, like, right now they're giving up way too many three-pointers. You know, the 11 that New Mexico had in the first half in the Mountain West opener, that game was kind of an anomaly in some ways, but still – the fact that you've given up that many three-pointers in just 2 Mountain West games, that's troubling. That's concerning. And they've got to handle that. And they've got to take a look at what they're doing defensively, especially playing off screens, to get that so you're not letting teams to get in rhythm. Because once they get in rhythm, they start feeling it. And they'll start making the tougher shots.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com, joining us. Mike, when you look at this team, though, and again, I think that there are those frustrations on the defensive side and consistency side. 0-2 in the conference, 8-7 overall right now. Is this kind of where did you expect them to be at this point? Because, again, just because you jump into conference play doesn't mean you're going to run the table. They lose to a New Mexico team that's really good. San Jose State team, I don't really know how they're going to be. But is this... I mean, should Rams fans be panicking at this point, or is this kind of where maybe you thought they'd be?
No, I don't think they should panic, and this isn't where I thought they would be. But then again, I also didn't think they would have the injury concerns that have hit them so often. I mean, this is still a team that has not ever had its entire team together at practice. Not, and we're going back to the summertime. So the team that you think that you're building and all the plans that you make – are on your entire roster, and you've never had that entire roster. And I'm not talking about David Roddy. I'm talking about post David Roddy decision, him getting drafted. It's have we had any of these guys? And some of the guys on the team that they thought were going to contribute haven't been able to. And it's, you know, for either a spell or a long spell, and it's because of illness or it's because of injury, and they keep kind of piling up. And nobody cares nationally. I mean, it's just your team is what they are. They've just got to find a way to shoot the ball a little bit better, and they've got to defend a little bit better to get these things turned around. So this isn't the team I expected. I did not expect them to start 0-2 in conference play, but I also don't expect them to go 0 for the entire season either. They'll get this figured out.
All right, so yeah, obviously that would go a long way if they can find a way to perhaps pull off an upset against Nevada. Tell us about Nevada, Mike. That's going to be an interesting game tomorrow night, late one on FS1. I'm certainly going to plug into that one. But that's a game where if you can find a way to battle it out, who knows, pull off that W, you can feel good about yourself and maybe start to put something together because you have Fresno State, Air Force coming up, some opportunities out in front of you. But this one in front tomorrow night should be a big test for CSU.
Yeah, Nevada's one of those teams that have started off 2-0. They're 12-3 right now. They've won four straight games. They're playing really well. What you want to do in the Mountain West is you need to protect your home court. And obviously CSU didn't do that the first time out. But you also got to find your places when you can go ahead and you can steal one on the road, especially against a good team. And Nevada is a team that's playing really well right now. But if Colorado State plays the way that it thinks it can, this is a game that they could go ahead and nab. And I think people would be surprised in some regards if they did that, but it's definitely doable, and that's what you're looking for. So, but you've got to they've got to become who they are and be that team consistently, and to do it on a road, on the road when you're not playing great is a tough ask, but it's an ask that's got to be made.
Is there somebody on that roster? You know, obviously, we know Isaiah Stevens. We know he's going to do big things every single night. He had 24 and 10 assists against San Jose State. Is there a guy that you look at and say, yeah, I know there's injuries. I know there's situations that have happened that have kept us from keeping our core together throughout the course of the season. Is there somebody right now that you look at and say, I want to see that guy, you know, start to pick it up more, whether that's on the scoring side of things, the defensive side of things? Is there a guy in particular that you look at and say, if he can step up big, this team's going to start rattling off some wins?
See, to me, and I don't look at it that way, I don't look at it as just one guy and putting pressure on that. You want to see a John Tonjay and an Isaiah Rivera be really, really consistent. You want to see Patrick Cardi. I think if you look at that starting lineup and you ask those three guys to do a little bit more and do what they've been doing and do it a little bit better and a little bit more consistently, you've got your chemistry. But I don't look at one guy and go, this is on you. You've got to add like 8 points a game, or you've got to do this. No, they're not asking them to do anything that they can't do. They just need them to do it a little bit better, and it's got to be a collective. And so that's why I don't look at one guy and go, okay, Tonjay, you got to go out and do better. It's all of them. It really is.
Yeah, no, you're right. And again, as you said, Isaiah talking about consistency and everything, finding a way to just get it all to click. And it does kind of feel like the pieces are there if they can just find that keyword, that consistency, and find ways to get it all to click. You know, Colorado State should be fine. You said that earlier. This team should be fine. And you feel strongly about that, Mike, so I'm going with you on that. I feel like this team's going to be okay. I'm a little worried, but you know me, I'm a worrier. But I do think the pieces are there.
They're normally a panicker, more so than a worrier.
I like to press the panic button.
So I think they're exploring different things with the lineup and who they're starting and how they're going to play them. The other thing I think is, you know, you go in with a defensive plan, and when you look at the fact that, like, Jalen Lake and Josiah Strong have not been available, and those were two of your better perimeter defenders, now you've got to kind of readjust and feel your way through that. And I think that's part of the growing pains that you're seeing right now is that you had a plan in place with people that you thought were going to be there. They're not. Now how do we handle this? Now what do we do? What's the new plan? Okay, now we got the plan. How do we do it better?
Yeah. Well, we'll see if they can do it better against Nevada tomorrow night. I'm ready for that one. I'm excited for it, Mike. Always appreciate you, my friend. Happy New Year to you, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
I look forward to it. Glad to have you back, Brady.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. He said, I'm not going to point to one guy, but John Tonjay was the first name he mentioned. So I'm going to go with John Tonjay. And I love John Tonjay. I think he's a heck of a guy. I want to see him take off. 52 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Sometimes you got to read in between the lines, Angel. That's what you got to do. And I think it's Tonjay. Let's go. Let's go, John. Let's get him rock and roll. Let's get you a player of the week thing coming up very, very soon. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Cables Pub and Grill, man. What is today? It's Top Text Tuesday. It's also Burger Madness at Cables. $9.99. There you go. I mean, do I need to say more? I love Cables. Listen, I've always been off and on going to Cables, but the last year, we started doing business with these guys, but that's because I started going there more, and I'm like, this place, dude, I want to talk about this place. They represent pretty much everything that I'm about. Very relaxed setting, amazing food, great people, great. A lot of community supporters are eating at Cables. Like, people that care about this area are eating at Cables because that's what Cables does. They care about the community. They are constantly putting back into the community, whether that's with UNC Athletics. We work with them on that, and I know they're big-time promoters there. But just doing various community-organized events in the area. And by the way, at the end of the day, you're listening, you're going, yeah, that's great and all, but do they have good food? Yes. Burger Madness, take advantage of it. Tomorrow is $3 pints for $7.99 personal pizzas as well. So Wednesday, big time deal. $3 pints and then $7.99 personal pizzas up to three toppings. 12:57 the time. When we come back, let's talk about the Broncos. Poll question of the day. Harbaugh, Quinn, or Peyton? Who are you taking if you were in charge and you could realistically pick one of those guys? One of those guys would be the Broncos head coach. Or would you not pick any of those guys? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll talk about it on the other side. More Broncos. Also, the NFL playoff picture. What needs to happen for everybody? And we'll go from there. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.